Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Etchalom. We're now in Masechet Menachot Daf Samach Gimel Amud Bet, about to begin our study of the sixth parak of Masechet Menachot. One little note, and I put this also on the help page. For some odd reason, this parak, which is the tenth parak in the Mishnayot, got transferred so that it is the sixth parak in the Gemara, and then everything else moves up one, sort of as a result. Evidently, from all of the manuscripts and all, it really does belong as the 10th parak, but we will study it in the order in which the editors have put it into the Gemara. The focus of this entire parak is the Korban HaOmer and Sefirat HaOmer and the Easter of Chadash that becomes permitted with the bringing of the Omer, and let's get started. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Omer haya ba b'Shabbat mishalosh se'inu v'chol mi'chamesh. So if it was cut on Friday night, they would cut 3 se'in worth of barley, of which they would eventually make an omer's worth, an isaron, uvachol, and if it was done during the week, they would get more se'in, which means really that it was just easier to get an isaron out of it. We'll see that in the Gemara. Chachamim omer mechad Shabbat vechad chol, mishalosh hayaba. They say in any case it was 3, we do not distinguish between Shabbat and chol in this case. If it was Friday night, another difference. He says that you would have only one guy cutting it. He would use one scythe and one basket. If it was during the week, meaning not Friday night, any other night, it would be 3 guys cutting with 3 baskets and 3 scythes. Chachamim again hold the position that we do not distinguish between Shabbat and Chol when it comes to Ksirat HaOmer. In this case, it's always done with 3 people using 3 scythes and putting it into 3 baskets. Okay. Now, Bishlamar Rabbanan Kasavri, we understand Rabbanan's position in the first piece with Rabbi Yishmael. Yisaron Muvchar B'Shlosha Se'inati. You can get a good Yisaron out of 3 Se'in of barley. Doesn't matter. My Kasavri's position is kind of difficult. If he holds that you really need 5 se'in to get a good isaron out, so you should do that on Shabbat. And if, on the other hand, he says 3 is enough, like Chachamim say, then use only 3 b'chol. So Amar Rava Kasavri Shmuel, he holds as follows. Isaron muvchar below tir cha'ati mechamesh. It's easy to get a good isaron out of 5. You don't have to work very hard. Betir cha'ati mishalosh. If you work hard, you can get it out of 3. So now you come up with a counterintuitive result. Bechol maitinan mechamesh. If it's a weeknight, so we cut 5 se'in worth, and then dahachish v'chamilta. Because then you actually get a better isaron. It's easier to do. B'Shabbat mutav shi'ar bebim lacha achat b'harkadah v'al yabebim lachot harbe. Better to do more work on threshing it on Shabbat, as opposed to all the other malachot, which includes cutting and carrying and everything else that you're going to have to do to get more original barley. That's Rabbi Yishmael's position. Now, Rabba tries to align Rabbi Yishmael with another Tanaitic position. Rabbi Yishmael, this is something that Abaye does often, and he's always successful at it. You will see that Rabba will try and fail twice, and Ravashi will try and also fail. D'tanya, what is the alignment? Arba'as ha-shechal liot b'Shabbat. If Pesach, meaning the 14th of Nisan, falls out on Shabbat, mafshit ha-Pesach ar-chazeh. You do not flay the Pesach fully open. You only flay it up until the chest. Divir b'Shmuel b'Noshel b'Yochum b'Bruka. Chamomim ad she'efshiri kulo. Now you just flay the whole thing. Now why do we think this is an alignment? Mi'el omer b'Shmuel b'Noshel b'Yochum b'Bruka ha-tam kol echad efshalo tachinan. So his position is we don't do anything more than necessary. If it's Shabbat, even though we're allowed to violate Shabbat, we don't violate it more than necessary. So he'll probably say the same thing about the Omer. Don't cut more than necessary and just work harder to get the Yisaron out. And then we challenge the alignment. Maybe our Rabbi Yishmael said that you should limit what you do on Shabbat because there's no counter concern of Bizyon Kodshim, where you have a korban that looks disgusting. I will hatam the ika bizyon kodshim, but perhaps he would agree with Rabbanan in the case of the Pesach that it's a bizayon to have the animal look like that. Maybe he would agree with Rabbanan that you flay the entire thing. Inami, and flip it. Ad kam lokom rabbi shmol roshom ruchom brukahatam eladit avid leitzorach kavoa velotzar tzorichachule shabbat. On the other hand, he could say, look, the essential mitzvah has been done. You've brought the korban, you're able to roast it as is, tear it open as far as necessary, and no more. But here, you haven't yet fulfilled the mitzvah. In order to do it properly, you need more stuff cut. Perhaps you'll hold like Rabbanan, cut as much as you need, which, by the way, Rabbanan end up saying three anyways. So that alignment didn't work. Rabba tried again. Rabbi Shmuel for Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim, who's in our Mishnah, Amru Devar Achad. So again, Milo Kamar Rabbi Chanina Skana Kohanim. Hatam Kevin Efshalo Tarchinan. He says, since you could get away with only one guy and it's Shabbat, why have three guys cutting? So perhaps he'll say the same as Rabbi Shmuel in the first clause of our Mishnah, which is, why cut five when you can cut three? Mimai, again, we'll disjoint this. Dilma ad kam lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hacha ela deleka pirsume milta. As we will see further down the line, the next podcast, there is a big concern about publicizing the fact that we're cutting it even on Shabbat, and it's part of a polemic against the sectarians. So when it comes to the issue of how many you're going to cut, there's no pirsume milta. So therefore, don't do as much. I will hatam the ika pirsume milta, but when it comes to how many guys are cutting and everything, that's everybody's watching. Then, Ema Karabonan Sferle, perhaps he'll hold like Karabonan that we always do it with three guys. Inami Adkam, the Karabonan is going to Kohanim Hatem, and perhaps Rabbi Chanina has a position. If you have one guy cutting or three guys cutting, the mitzvah gets done the same way. But here, by using less grain, you will not necessarily fulfill the mitzvah properly. Ema Karabonan Sferle, perhaps he holds like Karabonan that you need the full amount. So that didn't work. El Amar Ravashi. Ravashi tried as follows. Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Yossi Amru Davar Achad. Which Rabbi Yossi? None. This goes to Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, talking about testimony for Rosh Chodesh, and about Chilul Shabbat to come and testify. Gan Bein Shnei Rabba Lil, Bein Shiloni Rabba Lil, whether the new moon was seen clearly or not, Mechalin Alavat HaShabbat. You come to testify, you Mechalel Shabbat. Rabbi Yossi Amar Im Nireh Ba'alil Ein Mechalin Alavat HaShabbat. If it's seen clearly, then Ein Mechalin Alavat HaShabbat. Why? Because you're going to come and find that somebody else already testified, or the Beit Din themselves saw it because it was seen so clearly, and therefore the next time that you see it, you won't come. You say, why should I come? And witnesses won't come. Now, Milo Amar Yossi Adam Kevinev Shalo Tachinan. So Rabbi Yossi there seems to say, we don't violate Shabbat even when it's mutar, if it's unnecessary. So he'll probably say the same thing here and use only three se'in and not five. Again, Mimai. Dilmad kam lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hacha. Perhaps Rabbi Shmuel's position here was, ela deleka nimseta tamach shalom tinevo. There's no consideration of, you're going to keep them from coming next time. Well, hatam nimseta tamach shalom tinevo. But the Rabbanon's position is, why do we say, no matter how clear the moon is, you still come and testify, is because otherwise, next time they won't come. So what happens is they come, and everybody who comes gets asked questions, and they all get the Suda, and they all get the big thing, Midmishtayot in Rosh Hashanah. And that way, next time they will come. So there's that consideration. So Emek Rabbanan Sferle. So maybe Rabbi Shmuel would agree with Rabbanan there and say, even though it's Shabbat, everybody should come. Inami, flip it. Ad kam akam Rabbi Yossi Hatam, ela deleka tzorach kavoa, and Shabbat lidachot. There's not an inherent tzorach kavoa, there's just an issue of coming to testify. But here we are doches Shabbat with the cutting of the Omer. So Emek Rabbanan Sferle. Once there's a nidcha of Shabbat, dechui of Shabbat, dechia of Shabbat, then we'll say, do it as much as necessary, as much as is allowed. Okay, so none of that worked. Itmar. Now, the context for this is the chatat tzibur that's brought on a regel if it's Shabbat. Shachat shtei chataot shel tzibur. So let's say it was Rosh Chodesh that fell on Shabbat. So you have a chatat tzibur, the seir lachatat, and the guy shechted two of them. Ve'enot tzirich elachat, amar rabba v'iten rabbi ami, that's important to keep in mind, chayav l'shniyah fatur l'rishonah, yuchayiv shchita on the second one. Not the first one, but the second one, because it was unnecessary. V'afidin kaper l'shniyah, even if in the end result, the first one didn't work and you'd use the second one. In the first one, he spilled the blood or something was pasul or a pigul. And even if the first one turned out to be a weak animal that wasn't fit, but you didn't know that when you shechted the second one. Now, how could Rabbah say that? Again, the same case. It's Shabbat. achat shmena v'achat kchusha. One is fat and one is skinny. Shachat shmena v'achakach shachat shchuta. If you shechted the fat one first, then the skinny one, chayav. You're chayav because the second one was unnecessary. Kchusha v'achakach shmena. But if you did the weak one first, then patur. Then you're exempt. Why? Because the kchusha doesn't count. Lord Elash omrim lo havei shmena l'chatchila u'shchot. Even if you shechted the kchusha, they tell you, that's not good enough. Go get a shmena and shecht it. L'chatchila, they tell you that. So how could Rabba say that you're chayav for the second one, even if the first one turns out to be a kchusha, a weak one? So two answers. Yibaitei masami kchusha mikamaita. Maybe kchusha should not be in that first bright, in that first memor of Rabba. It should only say afilu nitkapra ba shnia. Or yibaitei mahi Rabbi Yami amra. That's why I pointed out that it might be Rabba, might be Rabbi Yami who said it. So maybe it was said by Rabbi Yami, so there's no contradiction. Okay, picking up on this, I'm going to Ravina Ravashi. What happens if you shecht the first one, then you shecht the second one, and then you find that the first one, after shecht the second one, the first one had a weakness that was inside of its own piece, which means there's no way you would have known about that when you shechted it, which means your intent was really an intent to violate. In the end, though, you didn't violate in practice because the first one you shechted was no good. Mahu. So, Batar Machshav to Azlinan v'Gavril Isura Kamachavein. Do we say we follow your intent? And your intent was to do an Isur, so you should be Chayiv for the second Korban you shechted. Odim Batar Masav Azlinan. Perhaps we follow the real action, which means that you didn't violate Shabbat because in reality you needed the second one. So, Amar Lei, Rashi answered as follows. Lav Hainu de Rabba v'Rava. Isn't that the same as the agreement between Rabba and Rava about the following case, the Itmar? Shamash etavatinok bayam. He heard that there was a baby that fell into the water. Piras mitzudah lalot agim. And in the meantime, he's a fisherman. He put his net in the water on Shabbat to get fish. Ve'alad agim, and he got fish. Chayav. He's chayav for tzeda. Lalot agim ve'alad agim etinok. But if he put it in order to get fish, and he got the fish, but he also saved the baby. Rava amar chayav. V'ramba amar patur. Rava says he's still chayav because his intent was to get fish. Rambam says, in reality, save the baby, so he's patur. V'yad kan Rambam lo kapatur, and even Rambam only says you're patur, alakeva and shama, since he heard there was a baby drowning, amrina nami dati atinok. He was also thinking about the tinok. Havalo shama lo, but if he didn't know that, then not. Which means, in our case, since the guy didn't know the first animal was weak, we have to say his intent was to violate, he should be chayav. V'ika damri, but the other version is that Ravashi answered Ravina differently. Amar lehainu plugtayu to Rabba v'Rava. It's the same as the machloket because he reads that previous maimer a little differently. Deitmar lo shama shetavat tinok bayam. Let's say the guy did not hear about the tinok. Peras mitzudah la lo tagim ve'la tagim chayav, lo tagim ve'la tinok v'dagim, rabba mar patur v'rabba mar chayav. So in that case, Rabba says, you're patur, because in reality, even though you had no intent whatsoever, and you didn't even know about it, the baby was saved. Which means you totally follow the actions, which means Rabba would say you'd be patur here. And Rava says you're chayav because we follow your intent. Amar torzim av matar sav, Rava amar chayav zo batar machshav to. Okay. So now we pick up on the same theme. Amar Rabba. Cholesh amdu ligrogor tachad. Let's say there's a guy who's sick and the doctor said he needs one fig. Viratsu asara b'nei adam veviu asara grogor tachad. 10 guys ran out and each one of them cut a fig off a tree to bring to him. Turin. They're all patur. Even if they did it in sequence, even though when he ate the first one, perhaps he already got healthy, and nonetheless, all the rest of the guys are patur, which totally goes here about machshava, but here machshava is the opposite. The machshava here is the thing that would exempt him. Bori Rava, so Rava then asked the question, let's say the doctor said he needs two figs. And now, you got two figs that are on separate stems, or you got three figs on one stem. Hey, minay or matina, which one do you bring? Shtay matinan, the chazule, do we just bring two, because that's what he needs? Or shlosh matinan, the kamata ksira, or do we bring three, because then we're actually do less ksira, because it's only one stem that we're cutting. So the answer is pshita shlosh matinan, obviously we bring three. Da'ad kam lo kam Rabbi Shmuel hatam el dechim amait bachila, kam amait ksira. Because Rabbi Shmuel only said what he did, because by lessening how much you bring, you're also lessening how much you cut. But here it's the opposite. By bringing him less figs, you're actually cutting more. Certainly we bring three, and that's how far we go. Continuing on now in the next Mishnah, which is Mishnah Bet in our Perek. after we discussed how many people are involved in the cutting and how many se'in we bring, mitzvata omer lavi min hakarov, lo biker hakarov l'ushalayim, v'inoto mikol makom. So the ideal is to bring the barley from close to Yerushalayim. If something close to Yerushalayim has not yet ripened, none of the barley in Yerushalayim has ripened on the proper time, then we bring it from anywhere. Anywhere, of course, means only in Eretz Yisrael. Ma'aseh shebaha omer migagot srifin, u'shtei halechem bikat ein socher. So we find out that the same halacha, by the way, applies to the wheat of shtei halechem. And we hear a story that there was one year where the omer came from as far away as Tzrifin. We're very familiar with where Tzrifin is. It's near Ramla. And Shtei Alechem came from Bikat Ein Socher, which is evidently a village area not far from Shechem. Okay, my Tama, what's the reason that it should come from the nearest place? Hibaitem Mishum Carmel, either because the Torah, in describing the Omer, talks about it as Geres Carmel, which means soft, so you want it to be fresh, don't want to have to bring it from far away. You don't want to pass by a mitzvah, so therefore you don't want to have barley that's near Yerushalayim that you ignore to go further away. Now, we hear this whole story, and it's a story that we're familiar with from the end of Masachet Sota in the Sugya of Chochma Yivanei. Tana Rabbanan, Kshetzaru Machet Beit Chashmonai Zeh Al Zeh. There was a struggle for power in the Chashmonai household after the death of Shlom Tzion Hamalka in the 1st century BCE. Vaya Horkonus Machutz V'Aristobulos Mibifnim. Aristobulos was the one who had held on to the city, and Hyrcanus was besieging him from the outside. So what they did is they couldn't get any animals in the city, so they would lower some money over the wall, and they would raise lambs over the wall so they could have a korban tamid. In other words, Aristobulus had some allies on the outside who would help him. Very unclear whether Chochmat Yivanit means Greek language or Greek philosophy, what it means. In any case, there was an elder who knew Chochma Yivanit, La'az lahem b'chochma Yivanit, so he told them in this other language that other people didn't catch, Amar lahem kol zman shasukin b'avodah inim sa'in b'yadchem. They will never be handed over to you as long as they're involved in the avodah. Now, he's saying this from a theological perspective, that as long as they are successful in bringing the Korban Tamid, you won't be successful in ousting them. So what did the people on the outside do? When they got the money, they put a chazer up instead of lambs. Chazer, by the way, plays a very big role in the whole Hellenistic attempt to, quote-unquote, acculturate the Jews. And it was halfway up the wall, the pig understood that it didn't belong there. It stuck its fingernails into the wall, into the wall of the city. Now, Eretz Yisrael shook. So cursed is anybody who raises a chazir. And cursed is anybody who teaches his son Greek, again, Greek language, Greek wisdom. But those are the two things that conspired here to create this terrible tragedy. Now, it's about that point in time, that year, that they mentioned Maaseh Sheba Omer Migagot Tzrifin U'Shtei Halechem Mikat Ben Socher, which tells us that this siege was happening through the end of the winter until the summer, at the very least, because both the Omer and the Shtei Halechem had to come from far away because the siege was taking place around the city. How they got the Omer and the Shtei Halechem into the city is unclear, unless the siege was broken earlier and there was simply nothing had been growing near Yerushalayim because of the siege. In any case, Kimata Omer, here a delightful story. Lo havu yadi mehecha aiti Omer. When it was time to bring the Omer, they didn't know where to get it from. Achrizi, so they put out the word, as they may know where the Omer is. Atahu hu chersha, there was a mute. Here he's not a deaf person, a mute, because he heard about the achraza, but he couldn't speak. Otivchada yada igre, put one hand on the roof, vchada yade atzrifa, and the other hand on a hut. So now, a roof, igra, in Hebrew is gag, and atzrif is a trif. Amarlo Mordechai, so there's a fellow there named Mordechai. It's not Mordechai of the Megillah, the timing just doesn't work at all. But either there's a guy named Mordechai, or else Mordechai was a titular name that was given to certain people who worked in the Mikdash, or maybe it was an honorific name. Mi'ika duchta deshma gagot sifin, or sifin gagot, is there some place that has a name, Gagot Tzifin or Tzifin Gagot, but Kuvash Kachua. So they found Gagot Tzifin and they found Omer there. So this guy communicated through hand signals. So now, 7 weeks later, Kibay Latuye Shtei Alechem, Lohava Yadim Ehecha Latuye, that again didn't know where to get it from, whereas there's some wheat fields that have already ripened, where the wheat has already ripened. Achrazu, they put out an announcement. Atahu Gavra Chersha, it sounds like it's the same guy. Otiv Yadea Eina, he put one hand on his eye. Vechada Yada Sichra, and one hand on the door bolt, which is called Sichra. So Amalim Mordechai said, Umika Duchta Deshma Ein Socher or Socher Ayin, so he put the two words together. Bad Kavash Kechua, and they found Bikat Ein Socher. Ein there, of course, doesn't mean an eye, it means a well, because there's a well, happens to be a well in that village. And so this Mordechai was able to solve it. Now, continuing on with this praise for this fellow's perception, Hanu Shalosh Nashim Da'aitu Shalosh Kinin, there were three women who showed up, with each of them with a ken, meaning a nest of two birds. Now remember, if somebody brings a nest of two birds, if it's obligatory, in almost every case, one is an ola, and in every case, and one is an ola, and the other is a chatat. But if it's a voluntary offering, they're both olot. So now, chara amra lezivati, one said, I'm bringing this for my ziva, as a zav, chara amra liyamati, from my sea, my ocean, as it were, chara amra leonati, leonati means my season. So Savramina, they thought Zivati means Zava Mamash, is really a Zava. Liyamati means Liyamati Mamash, meaning my flow, again, a menstrual flow. Ma'onati means La'onata, again, the season. Meaning the Chulu Chara Chatat V'Chara Ola, which means they're all Zavot, and therefore each one of them is an Ola and a Chatat. Amar Mordechai. Mordechai said, wait a second, maybe not. Shema Bezov Sikna, Shema Biyam Sikna, Shema Ba'ina Sikna. In other words, maybe this woman was endangered because of her ziva, because of her menstrual blood, and was saved. Maybe this woman was at sea and was endangered and saved. And maybe this woman got hurt in her eye and was healed. And each one of them is bringing it as a Thanksgiving offering. Dechulu olot ninu. Baduk v'ashkach. They checked, and it turned out to be that was exactly what the case was, and they were all olot. V'hanu ditnan. That's why we have the Mishnah in Shkalim that says, P'tachya al hakinim. Ptachya was the guy in charge of Kinim. Who's Ptachya? Zemordechai. Lamani Krashmo Ptachya. So why is he called Ptachya? Shepoteach Dvarim V'dorshan. That he was able to open things up and explain them. In other words, solve these riddles. V'yodeh B'shivim Lashon. He knew all 70 languages. Ah, Kulu Sanhedrin Amiyadi Shivim Lashon. So the assumption here is that this Mordechai is also a member of the Sanhedrin. So there's no chiddush in saying that he knew 70 languages. They all did. Or he might not have been a member of the Sanhedrin, but knowing 70 languages, which doesn't mean 70, it means knowing all the known languages of the area, was something that quite a few people did. Why did the member of the Sanhedrin have to know all the languages? Da'am Rabbi Yochanan, Ein Moshe v'Sanhedrin ela ba'alei chokhmah, wisdom, ba'alei mar'ah, people who are attractive or look good, ba'alei komah, they have height, ba'alei ziknah, they are wise with experience. Balek Shafim, they have to be people who know witchcraft, because they have to be able to judge cases like that. V'yodim Shivim Lashon, Shlo Tesanon Shoman, Pia Turgaman. That the reason they have to know all the languages is so they can hear testimony directly from the witness and not hear through a translator who might subvert or even inadvertently misrepresent the words. So why was this Mordechai so great? Allah Dahave Bayel Leishne Vidari. She was able to mix languages together in Darshan, meaning he was able to recognize one phrase from one language, another from another language, sort of like Rabbi Akiva with Totafot. Mordechai Bilshan. That's why Mordechai in Sefer Nechemiah, which is a different Mordechai, because that's from the Persian period, and this Mordechai is clearly from the Hellenistic period, as we see from the story of Aristobulus. But that's why Mordechai is called Mordechai Bilshan in Nechemiah. So what it may mean is that Mordechai was a title given to somebody who had that facility and ability with languages. In any case, we'll pause at this point. We're going to see a very interesting Mishnah coming up that I'll give a bit of an introduction to in the next podcast. In the meantime, we should have a wonderful day.